Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics.
Y'all in trouble. It's me, it's Mr. FSP. Do what I do, because I do it for you all day, every day. And we, my friends, are live and direct. For me, it's the 19th. For you, it's the 18th. But it's all about that turning. Round of 32 has started. And right now, we are 35 and a half seconds away from halftime of West Virginia and Notre Dame. West Virginia is up 42-35. And for those of you that like to place a wager, I'm talking about friends like Rich Thorpe, Big Rich. He's in Vegas right now doing some beautiful things for me and for others, but most importantly for himself. I hope West Virginia looks like there are. I mean, it's halftime, but you never know what's going to happen with the Volunteers and this tourney. We'll see. But that's not what I got you here for. I got you here to talk about some NFL action as well as my satisfaction with the NCAA tourney and maybe a little NIT, maybe a little World Baseball Classic. You never know what's going to be the topic when I'm on air. It's been a while. I know. It's been a long while since you heard from me. There's been some circumstances as to why I haven't been on air, but I'm here. I'm doing my thing. Hopefully my buddy JT18 Money stops through. If not, not a big deal. I will rock the MIC. I'm up. It's you guys sprung forward time-wise, which means it's 2 a.m. where I am, and that means I'm going to have fun regardless. Okay. With that being said, the number to call in if you want to be involved in this conversation is 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. And I'm telling you, there's going to be some stuff I want to talk about that you might want to talk about that might shock some people. You never know. But let's jump into this free agency, NFL free agency business here. So the big news is that Marshawn Lynch might want to return. Again, I said might want to return because there is no guarantee that he's going to return to the NFL. And if he does, what's going to happen to him? Because he has a contract, or the rights to his contract belong to the Seattle Seahawks, who have signed Eddie Lacy to a one-year heavy incentive-laden contract. They've got Rawls, and I've got the other back's name, but they got that back. And Oakland, where he's from, they're all about, you know, getting him. And that's what's up. Oakland wants Beast Mode. He wants to go to Oakland because he's from the area, the Bay Area. Whether he wins a championship or not, I think, honestly, with David Carr being as good as he is, with Amari Cooper, Crabtree, and now Latavius Murray signed with Minnesota, we'll get to that later, Beast Mode has a legit shot at going to the Super Bowl with the Oakland Raiders. A real legit shot. Now, if they sign Beast Mode, that means they're going to assume the $9 million contract that Seattle would then have to part ways with. You know, last time I was on here, I was arguing with JT about the Tony Romo situation. He was so adamant that, you know, Romo was going to get released and they were going to do the honorable thing and da-da-da-da-da-da. He sent me email after email after email. See, I told you they're going to do it. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Yeah, yeah. No, they're not. They're not. It's business. Has Tony Romo been released yet or traded? Yeah, neither. But was he released on the day that everybody was saying he was going to release? No. Dallas wants to keep him to the most, to the best opportunity arrives their way. Think about that. Your franchise leading quarterback in all major categories except Super Bowls, I guess that's the one that really counts, gets, you know, cut by your team, and your team receives nothing in compensation for him, and he goes on to play for another organization. That just doesn't make business sense. And I tried to tell Jerry, but of course, Jerry being the old guy and the guy that, you know, knows more than me, rah, 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 rah. I'm standing on a chair, rah, 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 rah. I tried to tell him. I love him. I really do. Tried to tell him. It wasn't going to happen that way. That brings us back to Marshawn Lynch. Seattle would either have to cut him or trade him in order to let him go to some beast mode, Marshawn Lynch, to go to Oakland. Now, honestly, I think Seattle, and this is good for me, in a battle, whereas I think Jerry and I would flip-flop, I think Seattle has enough respect for the man and his abilities to actually cut him and let him go. Here's a reason. He's been out of football for a year. Prior to him getting out, he had several issues physically that, you know, allowed for other running backs to get their opportunity to shine and all that. It's $9 million hit on their salary cap. I know Tony Romo was $24 million or is going to be $24 million, whatever it is. But at the same time, it's going to give Seattle much-needed cap space, especially since they just signed Eddie Lacy. They have Thomas Rawls, and they've got another running back that can play the game and has played the game on a good level. So beast mode, hey, look, I love for you to come to D.C., but that's not where you want to go, especially now. And if they in Seattle, are willing to release you and let you play for another team, especially in a totally different conference, that you're not even going to play this upcoming season. All those play a factor. And I think that Seattle will do that, out of respect for Marshawn Lynch. Now, we talked about Latavius Murray not being in Oakland. He's not in Oakland because he signed a contract to play somewhere else. In Minnesota, Rick Spielman says Adrian Peterson is done with Minnesota. Just last week, the GM was saying Adrian was welcome back. But again, the business side of football is very, very simple. PR, public relations, you want your fan base to believe that you're going to keep a player that has been beloved by the community and by, you know, players and stuff for the longest time. We can go back as far as, two, three years ago, before Adrian had the injury issues, when he had sat out or was suspended with pay for almost a year for the discipline he gave his child. The backlash he received from that in the community
but mainly from the general manager and the organization, was that he was a child abuser, he was this, he was that. They didn't want that type of person in the community, and so on and so forth. Only to turn around and welcome him back into the fold. Now, granted, he didn't perform as well as expected, but part of that had to do with that horrendous offensive line, which Latavius Murray now will have to deal with. You know, Sam Bradford and Bridgewater, he has to play quarterback for that team. More importantly, they have to be protected by the offensive line. That's where Minnesota needs to spend the money. But they went in and they got Latavius Murray, who is a very good running back in a division that is more of a passing offense now. You know, Minnesota's going to stick with the hard-nosed running back who can, you know, catch occasionally out the backfield, which is fine. Which is fine. But when your entire division has fast sideline-to-sideline running backs, those holes close very quickly. And last year, Murray dealt with a couple of injuries that, you know, allowed for other running backs to step up and prove their worth. He's in Minnesota. AP's without a job. Adrian Peterson. Now, AP's 31, I believe. He's dealt with some very serious injuries. Last year didn't look too good for him, and I attribute most of that to the offensive line, because even when he wasn't in there, there were some issues at the running back position. There, Matt Asiata, McKinnison, and the others, they had no running room. Literally, no one was afraid of anything Minnesota did after week six, I believe. They didn't care. Sam Bradford reverted back to what he was when he was with the Rams, because the offensive line started to deteriorate. Think about it now. First couple weeks, they're blocking. Matt Khalil's healthy. Everybody's doing great. You know, AP gets hurt. They still do well for about 3 or 4 games. Then they lose their left guard. Then their right guard. Then their right tackle. I mean, think about it. You're not going to have many running lanes or pass protection when you're down to your second and third string offensive linemen. Now, are they going to come back next year or this upcoming season and be healthier? Yes, but that doesn't mean they're going to be any better. They got older. For instance, they didn't work together for a whole year, unless they were in the trainer's room getting rehab, stuff like that. You know, that's the beauty about free agency and the upcoming draft. They can pick up players to fill gaps. I'm looking at a whole list of free agents that signed since the 16th or the 15th. Now, I didn't see Eddie Lacy's name on it, but I'm trying to figure out why. But it's all good. I've got some decent names on here. But you swap out Latavius Murray for AP. Bismo might go to Oakland if Seattle lets him go. Tony Romo's still with the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, free agency is what it is. But there have been some big signings. Namely, and I'm going to bring my co-host JT in because he just dialed in, Jason Pierre-Paul, $4 million, $40 million guaranteed. Now, JPP is still a dominant player. Not $40 million guaranteed dominant, in my opinion, you know, but he is a force. You've got somebody going home to Carolina. We're talking about Julius Peppers. Is he going back to being a down defensive end, you know, three technique or four technique defensive end, or is he going to stay as a linebacker? He's been playing outside linebacker who occasionally rushes off the end, you know, but drops back in coverage and making plays as a linebacker. What does he do? But let's talk about JPP. So JT, welcome to the show. And tell everybody your thoughts about this JP. You live in that area, so you have inside scoop on what people. Oh, this is Jeff. My bad, Jeff. I look at the number. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right, Jeff. I love you too, Jeff.
Yeah.
But you live in that area too. What's the word on this JPP signing and what the New Yorkers are feeling?
You know, the Giants try to keep their own guys as much as they can, but unfortunately, because of this salary cap system, you do have to make hard choices. And, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul played very well last season, you know, coming back from that horrific fireworks injury. You know, it's a lot of money for him. Good for him. So hopefully he'll continue to be productive. You know, I mean, he had to change his game a little bit, you know, because of the hand injury. But, you know, he's got a bad back, and that's a lot to deal with. So hopefully he can stay healthy. But, you know, he's one of the few guys left on the team with a Super Bowl ring. And, you know, you like to keep guys like that. I'm pretty sure Jerry's numbers are 7'3", too. I'm a 9'7", 3" guy. I'm farther up north, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so just so you know. But, you know, the and this is a very minor transaction. The Giants are getting ready to sign Geno Smith as a backup quarterback after he passes the physical. It's not a big deal because, I was a little surprised because they already have Josh Johnson as a veteran backup to Eli. So you figure if that was the case, they'd go with a young guy, you know, as the number three. I guess Ryan Nassib hasn't shown much, so he's probably gone. But for some reason, I guess they like Geno. And I was a little surprised Geno wants to stay in the New York area. You think maybe he wants to start new in a new city, you know, because of some of the things that have happened, you know, off the field, you know, during his tenure with the Jets. But maybe there wasn't a lot of interest in him. I'm not sure. But
I think that's it. I really do.
That,
I think
that could
not
be it. Yeah.
Well, when you have somebody like Lennon out of Tampa Bay, expect to get $15 million a year, versus and who's okay, but he's not a starting quarterback anywhere, in my opinion. And you got Geno, who is physical, familiar with the New York area, and you can get them cheap. That's the key thing here. Cheap. I can understand that. But you also got Colin Kaepernick out there as well. But there's that whole, is he going to stand, not going to stand deal going on. And a lot of GMs and owners are like, oh, no, he's an embarrassment. He's a disgrace, so on and so forth. And they're not going to sign him. So I can understand why they did the Geno Smith deal, as opposed to, you know, a Josh McCown or anybody like that. I think, didn't the Giants franchise tag Pierre-Paul?
I think last year they did, or it might have been before, but I think now they re-upped him to a new contract.
And that's a good thing there, because if you look at the Giants, they're pretty much a running back away from being a very solid team. They've got Brandon Marshall. They've got Odell Beckham Jr., Eli. They haven't had a dominant tight end in a while, but Rashad Jennings and the young kid that was the rookie last year, Perkins, you know, pretty much every Perkins team, unless they sign another running back. it's interesting that they're building the offensive side when I think they need to work a little bit more on the defense. But it is what it is. And I think we got the old man on the line now, so I'm going to bring him in. The crew's back together, so to speak. We're just missing Black. But
you're not a crew.
JT,
you're not a crew member.
What?
Don't
you're
start
not a crew
member.
CNB.
Don't start he's the godfather. Vic's the godfather.
There you go.
Not,
I run
you're not a crew member.
I run
you're
the crew.
You're not a crew member.
Okay,
you're
but
not,
I run
not
the crew.
Not a crew member.
Are you, why are you hating?
I'm never hating. I'm just I always speak the truth. Jeff knows that.
Well, Jerry, you, me, and Black are like on Happy Days, Richie, Ralph, and Potsy, and Vic is the Fonz. He is
yeah,
our mentor.
You go.
He is the godfather.
Hey,
you give him too much credit. You give him too much credit.
Really, really. Hey, Potsy, be quiet. Potsy, be quiet.
Sit on.
All
it.
Right. Yeah, sit on it. There you go. I'll think
hey.
About it. I'll think about the word. Sit on it, Potsy. Okay, so I invoked your name, and I wanted to get your thoughts on how wrong you were about Tony Romo again. But before we get to your
well, I'm
not, crow
well, I'm not completely wrong.
What?
Not completely wrong.
But you were you're
still
wrong.
He still may be released.
Okay. Anyway,
he's up in limbo. So if he gets released, I'll be right again. But I told you
you'll be right again. You're still wrong. But
yeah,
okay.
Okay.
But I was asking Jeff his
mm-hmm.
thoughts on the JPP deal. I'm gonna just recap real quick for you what I was discussing the JPP deal. Your thoughts about that, as well as Marshawn Lynch possibly coming back to play with Oakland if Seattle releases him, who I think would do
that's
it
crazy.
Because they're a good organization and they'll follow through on what they say. Whereas the Taylor
unlike,
Murray
unlike the Redskins, time, unlike the Redskins,
whatever. I'm talking about the Cowboys, but Latavius Murray leaves Oakland to go to Minnesota, and that leaves
mm-hmm.
AP out in limbo somewhere. I also
mm-hmm.
talked about how I expected this to happen because of a couple years ago what the GM, Rick Spielman, said about AP when the whole, you know, child abuse situation came up and the feelings there. I didn't expect
yep.
AP to come back to Minnesota.
No.
But just last week, they were saying they want him back in the fold. And this week, now the GM says there's no place for AP here. So, you know, touch on those subjects real quick, and then we'll go around the league and then do some NCAA March Madness.
Well, older backs, you see older backs are having a hard time trying to get work because they're older backs. Because they last time they were effective, before they got effective, they were injured. You see Jamaal Charles still not anywhere. You see AP not anywhere. Eddie Lacy is on a monthly contract because he's going to get checked every month for his weight. So older backs, especially like I had said before, and I'll keep on saying it, especially on my show on 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday, Master Plan, that there's a lot, and I can't stress this enough, there's a lot of backs coming out that are very good backs at a cheaper price with less mileage. So why pay somebody $6-7 million, maybe $5 million a year for a back that's questionable, older back with a lot of mileage coming off injuries versus a back they can get for a lot less with a lot more mileage on their legs. That may be just as effective, maybe even better. Bottom line, that's the bottom line.
I can get that, and you know, I understand why Jamaal Charles is still out there. Jamaal Charles probably won't be on anybody's team until probably minicamp or just before preseason because of his injuries and the fact that he's a speed back. He's not a power back. His days of running, you know, ISO and all that are probably behind him. But there are a lot of teams that could use a speed back. And I'm telling you, if Oakland doesn't get Marshawn Lynch, they'll gladly take Jamaal Charles because, one, he's familiar. Two, he'll probably want to play against Kansas City twice a year. Three, Oakland is a team, probably a running back away and a couple defenders away from being a legit Super Bowl contender. David Carr going down absolutely killed them because I really believe they could have gone into Foxborough and beaten the Patriots, especially the way the Patriots played the Texans. But that's that. So your thoughts, since you're in the New York area too, about the JPP signing is $64 million, 40 guaranteed, a good deal for the Giants?
Well, we'll wait and see. These contracts, they're NFL contracts. That in itself speaks volumes.
Well, 40 so mil guaranteed. Come on now.
Well, let me put it this way. He's not going to get to 40 million guaranteed. I find it very hard to believe that he's going to get 40 million guaranteed. I understand what's guaranteed, but this is the NFL. And I don't think he's had that many more years left to be really effective, to be paid like he played in the past. He's dealing with that hand issue, which is a very big issue, especially going against bigger and younger offensive linemen. We'll wait and see. I mean, he may be effective this year, maybe next year. 4 years, that third, fourth year, good luck. Good luck. I don't think it's happening. So
okay.
That's how I feel about it. I mean, you take a chance when you sign guys like that. And how many of them actually go through their whole contract and collect all that money? I don't know the statistics, but I can't think it's too high. So I got to believe it. He's got some tread on the tire. Plus, he's dealing with a deformed hand. He's a good player, but I don't think he is as effective as he was when he had all his fingers on that one hand. So it is what it is. They paid him. I guess he's worth it. I can't blame a guy for getting as much money as he possibly can, because these guys, it's a rough business, and you get what you can when you can get it. And Giants figured that he was worth it, but I don't see him collecting that whole contract. Don't see it.
Okay. Too easy. So let's talk a little bit about some of these free agent signings. Connor Barwin goes to the Rams as a linebacker as opposed to as a defensive end.
They'll move him around.
Oh, I believe so, too. I believe so, too. You know,
Wade Phillips, man.
Huh?
Wade Phillips. They'll move him around.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the coordinator turned head coach of the San Diego Rams, you know, they're pretty interesting. He has a different philosophy, so we'll see. Then here's a good one that really isn't a big deal, but it's a big deal because what he's trying to do. Jared Cook goes to the Raiders and immediately wants to buy Amari Cooper's number 89 off of him. That's one way
to
make
a big
splash.
But
that's the story. It's a real story. Jared Cook, you know, one, isn't that big of a deal when it comes to tight ends. He can play. Aaron Rodgers made him look really good. He also made Aaron Rodgers look good by pulling down a couple Hail Marys and stuff like that, but he's not that dominant of a player. But let's look at it this way. He's a proven commodity that can catch the ball and can block. Right? We just talked about the Raiders being a running back away and maybe a few defenders away from being a legit Super Bowl contender if something happens to David Carr again. So what's his impact on the Raiders? Because they went through like Clive Walker or Barker and Rosario the past couple years. Both got a lot of passes and a lot of love from David Carr. What type of impact does he have on the Oakland Raiders as a pass catcher as well as blocker?
Jared Cook?
I
don't consider him too much of a blocker. He's mainly a pass-catching tight end and is inconsistent. He was inconsistent in the Rams. Did a little bit better. I think he did a little bit better with the Oakland Raiders. It adds a weapon to the offense. When he's on, Jared Cook is a very athletic tight end, but very inconsistent. And that's why he is on his third team since he's been in the league. So,
Jeff, what you got?
I'll tell you, if I was an NFL tight end, I'd want to play for the Raiders because, you know, they got Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree at wide receiver, so that's got to create opportunities for the tight end. And I'll tell you, I wish the Giants would finally, either through free agency or the draft, really address that position because they haven't had a good receiving tight end since Jeremy Shockey, and that was a long time ago. And it seems like every year or two they got a different guy, and nobody's been real impressive. And I just really like to see more production from that position for the Giants.
They had a chance at Martellus Bennett, but he ended up going to Green Bay. He ended up going to Green Bay and making the Packers great again. Because let's look at this. When has Aaron Rodgers always been a top-flight quarterback? When he's had
Michael
tight
Finley.
End, exactly. When had, well, we know what you did with him. All these years you've been doing this. You've kidnapped him. He's been in the back of your work, your service vehicle, and that was in the JerMichael Finley. But JerMichael Finley was there, and what happened? They developed Jordy Nelson. They Sterling Sharp, and some other players were in the mix, and they made things better for the passing game. You put Martellus Bennett in, who can run block as well as catch the ball. He was an athlete. You pair him with Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, and whoever they get at running back, whether they keep the wide receiver turn running back as their starting running back, which I doubt, that gives Green Bay's offense a much-needed boost as well as Aaron Rodgers. I honestly think that keeps Aaron Rodgers as a top three or five, at the least, quarterback by giving him a tight end who can block and catch. What do you think? I'll start with Jeff. Jeff, unless you're eating or walking away or something.
I got a lot of static on my line. I might have to hang up and call back.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I couldn't hear all of what you were saying. I'll tell you, and this is not an insult in any way, the Packers are a very well-run corporation. And I say that because they're the only publicly held NFL team. And when I was a kid, when they were losing year after year, they got criticized before it. But I think it was more based on speculation, you know, like why do the Packers keep losing? And I think people thought they needed a real definitive leader, you know, an owner or a president calling the shots. But for a long time now, the stockholders have elected qualified people to run that franchise, and they draft the right guys, they develop them. And occasionally, if there's a specific need, like with Julius Peppers, they sign the right free agents. And they're very well-run organization, and you know, they'll probably continue to be successful.
Okay. Did you hear my question about the effect that that Martellus Bennett has on the Green Bay Packers?
Oh yeah. I think, I mean, if he could stay healthy, that's one of his issues. He's already with his fifth NFL team. Now, you know, in the modern NFL, guys move around a lot. But, you know, five teams in less than 5 years, that's a lot. I forgot. He almost forgot. He played for the Giants, I think, back in 2012. And was pretty good. You know, he started off with Dallas, and I guess they had him backing up Jason Witten, and I guess Bennett was good, but maybe they didn't want to use a double tight end, and he wasn't going to get Witten out of the lineup. But who knows? If he could stay healthy, he could have a 1,000-yard season up there. I think it's definitely a possibility. He's got talent, and, you know, that's never been the issue.
All right. Jerry?
Going to be a serious weapon for Aaron Rodgers. he is 10 block and can run, so he's not a specialized tight end like Richard Rodgers is and Jared Cook. Richard Rodgers is mainly a blocking tight end. I could catch the ball. I mean, he, quite naturally, you know, the Hail Mary that took place when he was in the lineup. And Jared Cook was a pass-catching tight end, basically. So these two are in one now. Martellus Bennett can do both. When he was with Dallas, he was a knucklehead, talked a lot, and didn't, in quotation marks, stay in his place as a backup. That's one reason why he went to the Giants. Giants picked him up. He still was somewhat of a knucklehead, still hadn't realized his talent. It came out when he moved on and played better when he was with the Bears. And that's where he made his name. That's where he really made his money. And after he left the Bears, then he went to the New England Patriots. He matured a lot. He's got a lot of skills that a lot of tight ends would want. Tight ends, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants pick a tight end in a draft class that's got the best tight end class, so-called best tight end class in the last 10 years. There's a lot of tight ends that are very good tight ends, not just O.J. Howard. And the African name, I can't pronounce his name, is another good tight end. There's a lot of very good tight ends. I can't recall his name right now, so I'm saying I can't pronounce his name, but I can't recall his name. But there's a lot of tight ends, wide receivers, and running backs in this class. That's where it's strong at. The linemen on the offensive side is not. On the defensive side, from front to back, from the front side of the defense to the back side of the defense, especially the back side of the defense, this is a really strong class. Getting back to tight ends are going to be pulled off in the mid rounds because there's a lot of good pass and catching tight ends out there. I should say overall tight ends, not just pass catching. Overall tight ends. A lot of good tight ends.
Let's talk about the pass catchers now. So far, it's been a lot of signings of wide receivers. Most recently, Kendall Wright leaves Tennessee and goes to Chicago, where we have no idea if it's going to be Jay Cutler, somebody they sign in free agency, or a drafted quarterback. Now, remember, they also still have Kevin what's Kevin's last name? I can't remember his last name, but he was drafted out of West Virginia, then got hurt, and they let Alshon Jeffries go. Alshon goes
Kevin
to
White.
The yeah, Kevin White. Thank you. And Alshon goes to the Eagles for a year. Oh my goodness, that is crazy. So what's the deal? Kendall Wright does what for the Chicago Bears? And is he suitable to replace Alshon Jeffries?
Kendall Wright is probably a number two wide receiver. He's a number two wide receiver, and I wouldn't say replacing Alshon Jeffries, just say another wide receiver to throw to. Can't depend on Kevin White because he can't seem to stay healthy, even though he's got supposedly got a lot of talent, but you don't know how much talent he has because he can't stay healthy. Cameron Meredith is
He broke out last year.
Excuse me?
He broke out last year when he was number one.
I think they got a bunch of number twos and threes. They don't really have a solid number one. Bringing in a new quarterback, you don't know what the rapport is going to be with Mike Glennon, who he's going to get a rapport with, whether it's Kendall Wright, whether it's Cameron Meredith, whether it's a healthy Kevin White, you don't know. You don't know how that passing game is going to be with a new quarterback coming to a new organization, learning a new system under John Fox. So,
you know it's going to be a run-heavy offense. John Fox is going straight to his run-heavy offense with Howard as his lead back. And he's going to sub in I already forgot the other cat's name that quick. And they're going to run. So I think that's why you get a guy like Glennon, because you're not going to depend on him to win the game. He's going to be your situational guy. He's not going to be a Jake Delhomme, meaning have to make the spectacular throw to Emotion Muhammad or Steve Smith, because they don't have that. They have a bunch of Musa Muhammads, but not the ability that Musin had or the experience Musin had back in the day. So we'll see what happens there. I just thought I'd bring that up. But let's talk about this big move for Alshon Jeffries. He goes to Philly on a one-year or two-year deal, 1 year with a second year with an option, I believe. And he's going to help out Carson Wentz, who, by the way, is now backed up by a guy that they let go. And he went to the Rams, and now he's back. I forgot the quarterback's name. That quick. Told you, I'm getting old, Jerry. Nick Foles. There you go. At least I got a TBI to explain why my head is hurting and I can't remember stuff. But what's going on with Philly? And we're going to talk about Tampa Bay, too. Tampa Bay's loading up on good talent, but will they get it to work this year? But let's talk about that. Let's talk about Alshon going to Philly. Talk about that first, and then I'll let Jeff jump in.
Well, you got to wait and see. You know, there's a lot of wait and see with these free agents, especially guys that are moving. And you got to be suspect because he's only got a one-year contract. I'm talking about Alshon Jeffery going with Philly. Apparently, there wasn't too much interest in him with other teams, and he had to settle for a one-year contract with Philly, and that's prove it to me contract. I don't know if we'll have to wait and see on Carson Wentz what kind of rapport he has. He had a rapport with Jordan Matthews, I don't know. You know, he's got all the tools. Let me put it that way. But you got to be available to be playable. So, Alshon Jeffery has been inconsistent in being able to stay on the field. Can play when he's on the field, but he can't play from the sidelines if he hurt or injured.
Sure.
So
that is true. Jeff, what are your thoughts?
You know, I concur with what Jerry says about Alshon Jeffery. I don't know how he looked when he took his physical. You know, you can't underestimate the importance of staying on the field. But when he's healthy, he's excellent wide receiver. But now Chicago is dealing with another guy who can't even start his NFL career with Kevin White. I mean, you can't underestimate the importance of being healthy. Getting back to the Miami University tight end, who looks like a very good prospect, David Njoku, I think is how you say his last name.
There you go.
He is from Cedar Grove, New Jersey. I'll tell you, Miami University sends a lot of tight ends to the NFL, and so does North Jersey, because we got Greg Olsen, and Anthony Fasano is still in the league, and Miami, you know, they've got, seems every couple of years they send a tight end to the NFL, Bubba Franks, Kellen Winslow II, Jeremy Shockey, Greg Olson again, et cetera, et cetera. And David Njoku looks like to be the next one. I'd love to see him with the Giants, but the guy from Alabama has looked very good at the combine, and I heard he could go possibly top 10, which is very high for a tight end. I don't know if we need to thank Belichick, but if you don't have great receivers, you could do a lot with a great tight end or two. So if you don't have at least one good receiving tight end, I don't think you're playing with a full deck, as far as an NFL offense goes.
Very true, very true. We're going to switch gears just a bit here because I want to get to two more topics. We only got 15 minutes left. Topic number one, and I'll let you guys choose. I got a feeling I know what Jerry's going to want to talk about, but here we go. Topic number one, somebody rented out the amphitheater of a casino for June 10th or June 6th, something like that, presumably for a fight, a boxing match, presumably. I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about the NCAA tournament. Right now, West Virginia is beating Notre Dame on St. Paddy's Day of all days. Think about that for a second. And let's jump into one of those two topics. So, having the feeling that I feel I have, Jerry, you pick which one we discuss first.
Go ahead. You want to talk about it? Go ahead.
No, talk about what? I'm waiting on you.
Conor McGregor.
Oh yeah, that. Okay. Well, anyway. First of all, I'm going to make this disclaimer. I do not believe Conor McGregor is going to beat Floyd Mayweather unless Floyd tries to be funny and let Conor put a lick or two on him. And I think Conor can put him down. Honestly, I think he can put him down if he can hit him. Now, this is nothing more than a payday for both of them. That's all it is. It's a payday because James Toney and a couple other boxers went to UFC and they got beat in the first round rather quickly by some mixed martial art vets. Conor McGregor is trying to make as much money as he possibly can in the arena of sports because he's a promoter. He's like Floyd, except he has a blemish. He has a loss. To be honest, this is a money grab, and it probably will go 12 just because Floyd is going to be like, okay, well, I don't want to take no chances. I'm getting $100 million or whatever it is he's getting, and he doesn't want to deal with it. But if he takes it to 12, what does that say about either the fighters he's fought to 12 rounds or Conor McGregor? Do you think he's going to put Conor McGregor down and finish this fight, or do you think he's going to take it to 12 and play it safe so he can make sure he gets that money? Jerry,
who you asking me?
I think
Floyd Mayweather does what he's been doing, what he always does, especially in his later fights. He takes it for the distance. He'll rack up the points and just take it the distance and go for the decision, plain and simple, and take the money and go home.
Jeff. What do you think that says?
If that happens,
what do you think that says about, the boxers, the actual boxers that Floyd has fought and went the distance with? If he lets somebody coming in there from UFC go 12 rounds with him?
Well, I mean, I watched a lot of boxing growing up. I don't watch much now. I don't watch much UFC. But, he's got an excuse. If Floyd loses, he's got an excuse. He could say, hey, it wasn't a regular fight. And to me, I don't see what the great appeal is of a boxer against an MMA guy, because to me, it's like apples and oranges. You know what I'm saying? That they really shouldn't go against each other because they're very different disciplines. You know, but for some reason, it interests people. This goes back to, I think you could, might even go back further, when Muhammad Ali had an exhibition against a Japanese wrestler, Antonio Inoki, which supposedly was the inspiration for, in Rocky III, his exhibition against Thunder Lips, played by Hulk Hogan. You know, I mean, to me, if, you know, a boxer's going to take on a wrestler, an MMA guy, it should be for kicks, you know what I mean? Not for real. I mean, is McGregor possibly overrated? You know, maybe his talent is more its self-promotion than actual fighting. And I think also he's gone up in weight class, which, you know, I mean, it's not easy making weight. But, you know, I've seen a lot of times when boxers move up in weight class, they keep moving up. They don't pack the punch they used to. So that might be one of his issues. But, you know, believe me, if there's a way to go to distance with him, Floyd will probably figure it out.
Well, I'll tell you that as an MMA fighter, McGregor is legit. He can fight many different ways, and his cardio is pretty good. Now, the thing is, he's not good on the ground as – I mean, he's okay on the ground, but he can't go against a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. That's what happened with him and Nate Diaz in the first fight that they had. Nate choked him out because he took it to the ground. Nate's a master. I think he's a third-degree black belt, as well as a boxer, Golden Gloves boxer, Nate Diaz was. And Nate Diaz just applied for a boxing license in the state of Nevada as well. So, but Nate Diaz has a history and a background in boxing, whereas he fought in Golden Gloves and he had a very good record as a Golden Gloves boxer, which are the amateurs, for those that don't know. So McGregor, I can see his issue probably will be trying not to kick, seeing as though that's the reference you use, because his style is very similar to Floyd, which means this is going to be a terrible fight unless Floyd takes pop shots, because they both fight not to be hit. The difference is Floyd is way faster than Conor, and they're going to fight at a weight that Conor normally fights in the UFC, which is around 145, 155, something like that. I don't think it's going to be a problem with him making weight because he's done it in the past. You know, I just think it's an issue of his skill. His skill is not at the same level as Conor. I mean, as Floyd when it comes to boxing. It just isn't. And when it when you say it's a money grab or it should be, you know, like a Tony Inoki versus Muhammad Ali, well, Muhammad Ali said in that event, he got tired of taking some of those shots, so he hit him back for real. And there were a couple of other exhibition boxing matches where Muhammad Ali did the same thing. You know, it was fun until, you know, people started to get hit for real. So we'll see what happens with it. We shall see. But let's go to this. 5 minutes left in the show. The tourney's going on. And the only upset so far, or real upset so far, in my opinion, has been SMU losing to USC. Now, I picked the Rams, the Rhode Island Rams, to beat Creighton. I picked them to beat Creighton. So that wasn't an upset to me. That 11 beating that 6 wasn't an upset to me. SMU, who had a 30-4 record, loses to a team that had to play a play-in game. That was an upset to me, because I had SMU at least going to the Sweet 16, if not the Final Four.
or possibly going to the Final Four. What are you guys' thoughts on the tournament thus far? Round of two just started, and it's West Virginia and the Irish. What are your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, I don't follow it too close. I'll tell you, I wish they really did a better job of putting teams in the region close to where they're really located. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it cracks me up every year. I think the same thing because for many reasons, I mean, you know, it's tough enough for Kent State going playing UCLA. They got to play them in California. I mean, come on. I know sometimes they can't do it because some parts of the country are more densely populated. I get that. But make an effort because one of the reasons, it makes it hard for a lot of fans to travel to these games on short notice, you know. You know, I don't pay too much attention to it. But I got to look at the bracket. But I'll tell you, if UCLA could play USC, that'd be a big-time game. Very interesting. And I'll tell you, it makes college basketball a little more interesting to a lot more people when UCLA is relevant. And they became relevant very quickly. And they got a good recruiting class lined up for next year. So the Bruins are back. And they got very good chance of making the Final Four. I think most people think that.
Well, I'll tell you, you make a good point because South Carolina was just playing in South Carolina. They won their game. First time South Carolina has advanced in the NCAA tournament in 44 years, and they're playing in South Carolina. And now they're playing Duke in Greensboro, I believe, in the second round. So that there is a very, very home-centric type of atmosphere, and it'll be like a real home game or something like that. So you make a valid point when you say see them in the regions where they're normally from. One, that cuts down on travel and stuff like that. But that also doesn't allow for people on the East Coast to really see a UCLA. UCLA is pretty good, even without Alonzo Ball. Even without him, they're pretty good. But with him, they're a legitimate threat. I believe they had the most wins in the school's history this year or close to it in the regular season. It's something like that. So UCLA is a real threat. USC, I didn't have USC making it out of the play-in game, but they did, and then they upset a team. And now they have another shot at upsetting I forget who they're playing. USC, I think they're playing Duke. No, they're playing Florida. I forget who they're playing. But they are a legit team, like you said, Jeff. And Michigan State, even though they lost, they're a team of freshmen. Michigan State won. Michigan State won. They're going to lose to Kansas. That's my bad. I think they're going to lose to Kansas. But they're a team of freshmen. Jerry, we got 60 seconds left. You get the last word.
The last word is I haven't watched one game of the NCAA bracket tournament, so you're asking the wrong person.
All right, well, give us the last word since I know the females are about to play, and I know you're going to watch that, but give us the last word so we can get ready to go off the air.
Tune in 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday morning, and that'd be the master plan. I'll be talking about the the brackets, not much, and I'll be talking about some NFL football. Guys moving around, and in anything else other than sport, other than politics, I'll be talking about.
Hey,
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a Sunday morning, master plan.
Hey, big announcement. I don't know if you told Jeff or not, but I find out sometime this week if I'm going to go work for the NFL next year, and then it's really okay. Not going to be me on the show. But I find out really soon. So
okay.
With that being said, we might have another Happy Days member. I like the way Jeff did it. We might have Chachi. I'm going to call him Chachi coming on the show or starting a new show. And that's my buddy Paul Nadowski. He's come on the show before.
And he reached out to me, and he says he wants to do whatever type of show I want him to do. And I told him if he knows more about politics, do the politics. If he knows more about sports, do sports. I'm not going to be mad at him. If he wants to get involved with the family, he can be in the family, as long as he don't run off with Joni. That's the only thing, because Joni Loves Chachi did not last long on TV. The point is, we might be adding somebody, and I might have to stay off the air for a whole year football season because of a great opportunity I have to work with Roger Goodell in New York. And I get to see you guys. And if I do get the job, I'm going to get you guys in at the draft, wherever it's going to be at next year, if I get the job. So we'll see what happens. With that being said, catch my guys, Jeff and Jerry. I don't know if Black comes on from time to time, but Jeff and Jerry, Thursday nights, 8 p.m., as they do the FSP Cruise Show at, what is it, 7 p.m.? Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard. You got this show at 1 p.m. on Saturdays, and you've got the Master Plan on Sundays at 10 a.m. We don't know what Paul's show is going to be, but we're discussing it now. We're in negotiations to discuss that right now. But I want to thank my guys, as usual, for holding this thing together. You guys know we're going on almost 9 years.
Really?
You know that? Almost.
Wow.
Almost
wow.
A decade. 9 years of
wow.
Us, you know, working together, or us doing the show, or the show being around. And started out with me and a couple other people. Then Jeff joined on. And then you, Jerry, and Black. And, you know, we've had people come and go. But almost 9 years of us being a family of sorts. So I want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart.
Wow.
Y'all can say that's, anything you want at this point. I'm about to go off air, but go ahead.
I'm just saying, wow, that's amazing. I didn't realize it was that long, but got together, and who said it wouldn't last?
There you go. Who said it wouldn't last? Whatever. I was doing the Janet Jackson. You know,
oh, God.
Love will never do without you. That's the song. Anyway.
Oh, boy. Getting sentimental now.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? I love my people. And since I can't talk politics, and once I get the job, Jerry, I'm going political. After Lent, oh my gosh, I have so much to talk about. So much to talk about. Oh, you don't know how it's killing me, bro. You don't know how it's killing me that as soon as Lent came, all this stuff started coming out, and I can't talk about it. But it is what it is. I'm going to remember a lot of this stuff when Lent is over. 40 days are almost up. All right, I got to get out of here. So, Jeff, thanks for jumping on and being a part of the show today. Jerry, thanks for coming in.
No problem.
You guys are my people. So I'm going to leave it up to you to kick us out of here, Jerry.
All right, from Jeff and Jerry, the two J's who hold down the FSP crew show on a Thursday night, and Vic sporadically comes in on a Saturday.
Really?
You want to talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports.